ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Yes, but upon the order of super soul, or Krishna himself. So then a devotee understands, oh, material nature is not the supreme controller. So a devotee understands that the super soul should not be blamed for my irresponsible actions. Who should be blamed? I myself should be blamed. So a soul understands that I am not the doer. When I say I am not the doer, I mean two things. Who can say? That was the essence of last week's class. You understand two things when I say I am not the doer.
Yeah, correct.
Very good. This is a perfect understanding. When I say I am not the doer, I mean that I don't have to be proud of the results that come by my activity. Why? Because the results are given to the Supreme Lord through the agency of material nature. So I should not be proud of the results, number one. Number two, I understand that it's not that super soul does everything or material nature does everything. Who is the initiator of activity? That's all. So once you consider oneself responsible for one's activity, correct? So these two things you should understand. I should always be of the understanding that I am responsible for all my doings. So whether they are good or bad, I will be held responsible. That is one. Another thing is, understand that the results are offered by super soul. So under the heading of I am responsible, I spoke a lot of things, very important things. Anybody can say? Somebody else?
It is not chosen by us. Not imposed upon us, but it is chosen by
us. Yes, correct.
And it is according to our actions also.
Exactly. The field is not awarded to us, it is chosen by us. That means, you know, you become what you associate with, we say, right? If you associate with Krishna's devotees, you also become a devotee. If you, like if a, so if a calf associates with a pig, he will also become like a pig. So, we may be in a human body, but if you associate with lower modes, then again we stand a good chance to go down to the animal bodies. So we become what we associate with. So I was telling, somebody may be in a human body but eating food like a pig. So he may say, I don't like pig body, I don't want. But because he eats the foodstuffs like a pig, then he will get the pig's body. Yesterday we were discussing something like that in the Brahmachari class. One devotee was giving a news which he recently heard a week ago in the newspaper. Again in China only, same place. China, they take the testicles of a dog, about a dozen dogs, and they store it and they pack it and they keep it for a long time, and then after some decomposing they distribute it. That is called by some specific name, you can imagine. These are the kind of foodstuffs they eat, snakes and cockroaches and things like that. So these people eat such abominable things. Although they may want a human body, the nature will award them animal bodies so that they can eat abominable foodstuffs. So he was saying that the body is chosen by us by our own desires and actions. It's not only just desires but by our actions also. So anything else you said?
Once we choose the field, we have to abide by the rules.
Yeah.
Still the Lord is kind in that He gives us a small degree of freedom, which we can use
yes, whatever that we want. Yeah. Although we have chosen a particular field, like all of us now, we all are in certain field, certain particular type of body. Some of us are in Rajoguna, some of us are in Tamoguna, some of us are in Satoguna. So we are either in any one of these three modes or in a combination of modes. But having been situated, we are also speaking in a particular way. And we are also thinking in a particular way. And we are behaving in a particular way. It's all determined by what? Three modes. Three modes only determining how you will speak, how you will think, what you will desire, even that is dictated by the three modes. So even if your thought process is influenced by three modes, how are you going to escape? Who can say that? Huh? By following the scriptures. If we cannot overcome this conditioned nature by following the scriptures, then scriptures have no meaning. Isn't it? So the scriptures are saying certain things which may or may not be palatable to us. According to our mind, generally they are not palatable. What are the scriptures, and do that and don't do this. So by hearing them attentively from the lips of spiritual master, and very carefully abiding by them, and going against our conditioned nature, one can gradually rise above the three modes. That is the purpose. So, in the 16th verse here, we will do from 16 to 18 today. Please respond. Jnanena tatra jnanam yesham nasitam atmanah tesham aditya prajnanam prakashayati tatparam. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So this is the knowledge that Krishna is talking about, what we all are discussing now, about if one knows these three truths, super soul, material nature and the soul, how every one of them is functioning and how they are related to one another. If one understands this knowledge, then that is called as the enlightenment. And what happens by the enlightenment? Krishna says, just like the sun lights up the entire sky, similarly when you put a light, the entire room is lit up. In the same way, the heart of such a devotee is lit up. If one does not have this knowledge, then what happens? Actually, the Prabhupada beautifully explains that when one does not know, when one does not know these three truths, he may commit varieties of mistakes. He may commit the mistake that he may be thinking, I am the body. Or even one realizes, I am not the body, I am the soul. One may start thinking the soul and super soul are one. They may be thinking, I am God. There are so many organizations in India, spiritual organizations, which say the soul and God are one. All is one, one is all. You heard these statements? Many places they write such statements. I am God, you are me, I am you. Such statements. When does a person speak such statements? Prabhupada, the last line of this purport, he explains that, you know, you may have so many traffic, like there may be car, there may be bus, there may be a shop, there may be marketplace. So many things are existing. But as long as there is no sun in the sky, when it is pitch dark in the middle of the night, everything will look to be one. There is no distinction at all. Whereas when the sun is high in the sky, you can see everything clearly. In the same way, as long as one is in ignorance, he thinks everything is one. I am one, God is one, everything is one. But when one's heart is lit up with knowledge, then one clearly says, God is God and I am his servant, I am soul. There is a difference. And the servant remains a servant and the Lord remains the Lord. So one should be able to see the difference. So this is what Krishna says, that one's heart is lit up with knowledge. We will read the next two verses also. Somebody can read 17.
तद्बुद्धयस्तदात्मानस् तन्निष्ठास्तत्परायणाः गच्छन्ति पुनरावृत्तिम् ज्ञाननिर्भूतकल्मषाः.
ट्रान्स्लेशन्.
When one's intelligence, mind, faith and refuel are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation.
Yeah. This is a very one of the important verses. So he says, Tan Tat Buddhayas, Tat Atmanas, Tat Nishtas, Tat Parayana. How can one achieve this stage of understanding these truths which he said just now? That the soul is the initiator, super soul is the sanctioner, and material nature is the agency. These truths can be understood only by one who is doing tatparayana, he says. Tatparayana. Only when one does parayan or worship for the Supreme Lord, one becomes fixed in his devotional service, then one can understand these truths. Actually, he says, tan nishtas, tat buddhi. One engages his intelligence, one's mind, one's faith, one's refuge. Everything is fixed in the Supreme. Then one understands this knowledge. So it is explained that when one gains this knowledge yields two substantial fruits. One is detachment and the other one is surrender. These two come as a concomitant result of knowing these three truths. how it is can be elaborately understood. Let us discuss on these two main topics today, on detachment and surrender. So we have to understand it deeply. The benefit of understanding knowledge about super soul, soul and the material nature, how they are functioning amongst one another. When you talk of detachment, detachment has many facets. One of the facets is, in the beginning stages, to understand, I am not this body. And one also does not endeavor to fulfill the needs of the body. One is not concerned about only bodily satisfaction. This is the first level of detachment. When one begins to understand, I am not the body. If you see, as long as one thinks I am this body, then one goes on increasing the needs of the body. It can be seen practically in the world how people are increasing the comforts of the body. Everything that we do in life, you can see, caring for the hair, and caring for the, if you go, there are 25 types of hairstyles. If you go to a salon, there is beauty parlor where they dress you smartly, varieties of cosmetics in order to keep you fair, keep you, make you look young. So for the body, there are varieties of things to increase the beauty of the body. Even after we become devotees, we look at the mirror, how we look, how beautiful we look. Is it not? Everyone, even the most ugliest of ugly man, thinks he is beautiful. Even he looks at the mirror and he thinks, I am the most beautiful. One feels like that. So this is actually, Prabhupada used to say, skin disease, bodily consciousness. Skin disease doesn't mean some disease. Skin disease means to always think oneself to be the body. This is bodily consciousness. And when you think you are the body, naturally, you will also be very much worried about the comforts of the body. You will always be concerned about how to keep my body fit, how to keep my body comfortable, how to not cause any type of suffering to the body. You will not even want to inflict a small amount of suffering. That will be your nature, to the degree to which you are bodily conscious. This you can practically see. What all we do? This kind of care is carried by Rupa Goswami in varieties of ways. Vacha Vegam, Manasa Vegam, Krodha Vegam, Jihva Vegam, Udara Vegam, Upastha Vegam. All these Vegas are all present in the body only because we think we are the body. To the degree to which we think we are the body, we have an urge to speak. Speak, speak and speak more and more. People speak about politics, people speak about sociology, people speak about civics, people speak about cricket. So they keep on speaking about something or the other. Similarly, when you think you are the body, you want all comforts for your own self. And when you are not satisfied, then you become krodha, you become angry. Then you have to fight with someone. Because this is a world of competition. In a world of competition, you want something and somebody else also wants the same thing. So you want to achieve it, thinking you are the body. Then there is a fight between the two. So there is anger. And when one thinks he is the body, then the mind, it wanders like a untethered bull. Or like a uncontrolled horse. It runs in all directions. So there is manasa vegam. And when one thinks I am the body, then one imagines that I am too hungry. If I don't eat properly, then I cannot become healthy. Then there is udara vegam, urges of the stomach and urges of the tongue. Then one wants to eat more and more and more, stuff beyond one's ability. Even after fully filling up the belly, still one feels, maybe I should take little more. Little more, little more. And one stuffs oneself. So these three, the tongue, the belly and the genitals, are in one line. So when one increases the demands of the tongue, then naturally one's demands of belly increases. When that increases, naturally one's eagerness for sex life increases. And ultimately one falls down to unwanted habits. So in this way, to the degree to which we identify with the body, all these six urges will pull us in all directions. In the 11th canto in Avadhuta Brahman, there is a beautiful example. There he says, first the tongue is clamoring for tasty food. It is demanding. And then when you fill up the tongue, when you taste some nice footsteps, then you want more and more. And then you eat more and more. And then you need water. Then the throat is very thirsty. And you drink water. And then when the food is digested in the body, then the body acquires a lot of strength and vigor. Then you become very passionate. Then you start doing sinful activities with the body.
and then again you feel hungry. So eyes go in one direction, ears go in another direction, all different senses of the body go in various directions. And in this way, one gradually becomes involved more and more in material activities. So the first stage of detachment is one, to understand that I am not this body, is not concerned with their satisfaction. This is the first stage of detachment. He is not concerned with the satisfaction. What is satisfaction of the body? It is sense gratification. One should gratify one's body only to the extent it is necessary to keep the body and soul together. This is the standard of satisfying the body. As much as you need to keep the body and soul together, other than that, anything we do is called as sense gratification. We can give vivid examples. Let us see the other extreme end of how great souls were not at all concerned about the satisfaction of their bodily senses. We can see examples. As Shukadeva Goswami says, in Srimad Bhagavatam 2nd canto, he says, Satyam Chitokim Kashipo Prayase Bahav Svasiddhe Upabharsanakim Satyanjalokim Purudhanna Patriya Vigval Kaladav Sadikim Dukulai. He says, Satyam Chitokim Kashipo Prayase. The entire earth is like a big flat. One can lie on the flat ground anywhere in the earth. What do we need a Kashipu? Kashipu means a soft bed. What is the need of a soft bed? You can lie down anywhere. And he says, Satyamchitokim Kashipopayase Bahavasvasiddhe. Hands are there to accept some food. If somebody gives some food, the hands are available. Why should we have Purudhana Patriya? What's the need of a vessel? He is asking. You can drink water from the river and you can accept food in the hand. Why do you need a vessel? He says. And he says, Bahavasvasiddhe. The hand is there to keep like a pillow. Why do you need a pillow? There is no need of a pillow. So in this way he says, there are all the facilities available by the Lord, made available by the Lord in nature, and we don't need anything. And this was practically exemplified by the great Goswamis of Vrindavan. They used to sleep under one tree every day. They didn't even sleep under the same tree because they were afraid they may become attached to the tree. This is my tree, that is your tree. You become attached. So they didn't even sleep under the same tree. Every night they would go to a different tree and sleep. And they led very simple lives. So following in their footsteps, devotees also should learn to make their lives very simple. We should simplify our lives. We cannot sleep under the trees, nor can we behave like Shukadeva Goswami, as he says in this verse. This is certainly extreme, which is impossible for us to practice. But at least we should learn to lead very simple lives. Like one who sleeps on a chatai. If he goes to some place and he is given a thin cushion bed, he will feel very grateful. Somebody who is sleeping in a thick dunlap pillow bed here, if he goes to another place and he is given a thin cushion, he will curse the people. Because the more you live in comforts, when you go to other places, when you don't get those comforts, you cannot feel grateful at all. In fact, you feel miserable when you go out. But one who learns to live in the midst of adversities, in the midst of difficulties, whatever is awarded in other places, he will feel grateful. That is why in the ancient times even the wealthy people used to keep their children in a very simple state, keep their family run in a very simple way so that the children don't enjoy too much comforts. It's very dangerous for one to enjoy too much comforts. Otherwise what will happen? One can never be grateful to the Lord. So one should not be concerned about satisfying one's senses. When will it happen? When one understands this fact, I am not this body. This is the first aspect of detachment, very simple. And whether you know it or not, you will see it automatically happening in the lives of devotees. When devotees advance in spiritual life, when they understand I am not the body, I am the soul, then you will see that they will always want to serve others. Like if somebody gets the nice foodstuffs to eat, some prasadam, so they will want to share it with somebody. So they will call somebody, please take this prasadam. They will give it to 5 people and then they will also accept a portion. But if you are in bodily consciousness, as soon as you get nice prasad, you will have it. Go somewhere behind. Nobody should see it. I will gulp down everything. Everything is meant for me. This is bodily consciousness. This is for the tongue. Similarly, when you are feeling cutting cold in Pune, you want one blanket down, one blanket in the top, one blanket for the head, 2 blankets to cover 2 years. So you can have such blankets and other person, let him go to hell. You never bother about others. This is because of bodily consciousness. So in this way we can tell for every sense like that. So when one advances in spiritual life, he is always concerned about satisfying Krishna's senses or the senses of other devotees. He doesn't want to enjoy himself. He is least concerned about the satisfaction of his own sense. Like for example, Ekadashi you follow. When you follow Ekadashi, when you fast on Ekadashi, the senses cry like anything. Why are you not eating anything? What about Ekadashi Prasad? You can take Ekadashi Prasad. Or you can at least accept some fruits. Why are you just starving me like this? So it is very difficult to say no to the senses. How can you say no? And mind keeps on thinking only about Prasad that day. Right from early morning. Morning, afternoon, evening, night. It's constantly reminding about food. Even while chanting, the mind imagines there's a beautiful plate of Prasad in the front. Isn't it? So this is the nature of the mind. So it's very difficult to control the mind. But a devotee who is advanced, he can say a bold no. Because he is not concerned about satisfaction of the senses. He is more concerned about Krishna's satisfaction. So he can fast. Of course, I don't say everyone has to completely fast. At least once you try to reduce eating on Ekadashi day and increase one's time of reading and chanting. That is the purpose of reducing eating on Ekadashi day. So this is detachment. Similarly, such a person also appreciates that he has no control over material phenomena. He understands his reality. And when one understands that I have no control over material phenomena, attachment to the self-made plans is also useless, he understands. This is also called as detachment. But I have no control over material phenomena. Let us not talk of a detached man, let us talk of an attached man. What attached man thinks, then you will immediately understand how a detached man behaves. Krishna talks of such a man in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He is telling how an attached fruity worker has a complete faith that I am the controller of everything. Everything is at my fingertips. I can do whatever I want. This is his conviction. So Krishna is explaining, Krishna is saying that such a person speaks in this way. Vidam adya maya labdham imam prapse manoratham vidamasti idam apime bhavishyanti punardhanam asau maya hatashatru hanishye chapranapi ishwarohamaham bhogi siddhoham balavanchaki. Then he says, Adyo abhijanamahanasmi konyo sadrishamaya. Then he says, Yakshayadasami molishye iti ajnara vimohitaha. He says in these verses very beautifully, explaining the nature of an attached fruity worker. He says, Idam Adya. Adya means, today I have so much money. Idam Adya Mayal. Idam Adya. Today I have so much money. And tomorrow, by my schemes, I will earn so much more money. After a few months, I have put money in shares. I have given this money to such and such bank. Then I will get more interest. From here I will get 24%. From there I will get 30%. So he is making plans always. And I will put the money in this scheme and that scheme, money will become double. Then I will do this. He's always making plans like that. Not only that, such a plan maker is so demoniac that he thinks that everything that is happening in my life is accomplished by me alone. God has nothing to play, no role to play in my life. Nor has karma got any role to play in my life. He doesn't believe in karma. In actuality, the Shastras say that beauty or wealth or high birth or high education, all these things are actually awarded as fruits of one's previous activities. So if somebody is born in the family of Henry Ford, or born in the family of Tata or Birla, it is because of the previous birth. So it's not the one's endeavor that one becomes rich. But even if one endeavors and one becomes rich, still the fruit that he gets is not by his endeavor, but by the previous life. But he is under the illusion that he thinks that it is by my own endeavor that I achieved such a high status in society. He thinks like that. If you see, according to his destiny, in his horoscope, it will be written that this fellow will be Pavatistikan in his birth and he will become the richest man in the country. For a period of time, it will be there in his horoscope. It is there in his destiny. He is already going to be awarded at any cost. It's going to be there. But what does he think? It is by my own endeavor that I have achieved this status. So he doesn't believe in karma. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe in anything. He thinks, I am a self-made man, self-styled man. He thinks, let other people follow me and glorify me. Konyosi sadrisho maya, he is telling. Who is that equivalent to me? Adyo means I am the richest man. Adyo abhijanavanasmi, and I am surrounded by aristocratic relatives and friends, and everyone is looking at me. What a great man am I? He is raising his collar like that. So, such a man is called as a hardcore materialist. Such a man is a hardcore materialist. He doesn't have any faith in God. He thinks himself to be the center of all activities. So, this is the height of ignorance. Because every living being is simply like a toy that is acting according to the three modes of material nature. Nobody has any control over anything. Everything is happening automatically, as we were describing in the previous class. So when we talk of detachment, a devotee appreciates this fact that I have no control over any material phenomena. That means he appreciates this fact that there are things beyond human control. If you appreciate this fact that there are things beyond human control, you will never be disturbed in your life. It doesn't mean that a devotee never makes plans. Of course, devotees also make plans. But devotees are detached from their plans. They know that the fruits are not in our hands. Fruit may or may not come. So they are detached from the plans. And even for the execution of those plans, they are always dependent on Krishna. They pray to Krishna, Krishna, I am doing such and such project. If it pleases you, then you fulfill this. Like that they pray. And whatever be the result that comes by Krishna's arrangement, they accept it. This is the nature of devotees. So, one should know that we cannot control everything in this world. You can see at one stage in your life, although in young age everyone has a feeling that everything is in my hands. I have complete control. I can do whatever I want. But when one grows in maturity, one will understand that after some time, there are things which are beyond my control. Everything is not within my control. It's not possible. We are not God to control everything. So a devotee can clearly see that the material nature is controlling. And the material phenomena cannot be controlled by me, rather it is controlled by Krishna. We were seeing once, we had come for the 7-day course nearby to Indraprastha Hall. So that day after the program was over, we sat in the sumo and the driver, he is a little fast driver. I told him to be a little careful. So he started the vehicle. And then when he started the vehicle and he moved, he went straight because I told him he was a little slow. So he went little ahead and then just turned the steering like this. And the gadi went straight, sumo went straight instead of turning in the right side. What was the reason? The steering had broken. Steering wasn't working at all. So he is turning the steering but the car is going straight. So this is how the material phenomena works in this world. That means when you are turning right, it turns right. When you turn left, it turns left. At one point you see that you have no control. You are turning it but nothing works. It takes you in some other direction. So the material phenomena is not within our reach. It's beyond our control. And when a fool who imagines like the one which I told you some time ago, who thinks, Konyos is the Shomaya, who is like me, Ishwaroham, Mahambhogi, I am the enjoyer, one who thinks like that, when he is put in such a situation, he becomes the most frustrated man. Because till now, he has no experience of things going out of his control. Always everything was happening according to his will. He was actually having a great faith in the slogan, I get what I want. That was his slogan. Now he is defeated in his purpose. Then he becomes frustrated and takes to some action according to his mode. If he is in tamaguna, rajaguna, satoguna, according to the mode, he takes on some certain activity which will bring him some so-called peace of mind. Actually, he can never achieve peace. So, this is also one aspect of detachment to understand that material phenomena is not under my control. And so I should not be attached to it. I should not be attached to anything that is offered by material nature. Can anybody give an example of something offered by material nature? That you should not be attached to? Yes? Yes? Wealth? Yes? Skills? Yes? Beauty? Yes? Even post? These are all offered by material nature to you. You may be offered a particular post. Or he may be offered wealth, he may be offered skills, he may be offered so many things. But when these things are offered, understand that these are offered by God and use them to the best of your ability in God's service. And then after some time it may be taken away. But Arjuna had the Gandhi above. As long as he had power, he was fighting in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. When Karna was dead, Arjuna was feeling a small kind of pride in his heart. And Krishna told him, my dear Arjuna, understand that you are just beating a dead snake, he told him. What is the pride in beating a dead snake? Sometimes in a village when a snake comes, everyone runs to nook and corner and hides. after some Pahlavan comes and, you know, he beats the snake and kills him, even the smallest of the children will come and beat the snake. You have seen that? Sometimes they also want to have the courage of beating the snake after the snake is dead. Similarly, Krishna told Arjuna that actually I have already killed Karna. You are just a nimitta. You are just an instrument in my hands. So one should understand that we don't have any control. Everything is done by God. And all these skills are offered by God. Krishna offered him the strength to fight with the Gandhi above. But later Krishna took away the power. But Arjuna could not even fight with some infidel covered men at a later stage when he wanted to protect the queens of Dwaraka. So devotee is never proud. And thirdly, the same aspect of detachment is that a devotee gives up his interest for materialistic engagement. Rather, he becomes too busy in Krishna service. Because he is too busy in Krishna service, he is too busy to give any time to Maya. Maya can never touch such a devotee. So detachment is something very difficult to achieve according to many spiritualists. So many spiritualists are working very hard to achieve this detachment. But for a devotee, detachment is something very spontaneous. How? Because by engagement in Krishna service, detachment comes as a concomitant corollary. A devotee need not make any separate endeavor to achieve detachment. It comes as an automatic corollary. As it is explained in the case of Bharat Maharaj. Jahav yuvaiva malavat uttama shloka lalasaha. It is said. It is said, Yodhistajan, Dharasatan, Sukhrit Rajyam Hidis Prashaha. Jahav yuvaiva malavat uttama shloka lalasaha. It is said, Yodhistajan, the great king Bharata became detached from such things which are very difficult to give up. Dara, his wife, Sudan, his children, and Sukhrit Rajyam, the Rajya or the kingdom, means the entire world in his times, which is very dear to everyone's heart. Such things he very easily gave it up. Exactly like one who comes out of a latrine after passing stool. One doesn't even look at the latrine. One doesn't even stay for a minute more. One just comes out. Like that, Bharat Maharaj came out from this material world. How was it possible for him? Generally, when you give up something that you like the most, your heart is torn apart, is it not? Sometimes, they have a policy. When I used to be in my native place, my grandmother, she had gone to Kashi and she returned back home. And after coming back home, she was crying for several days. After, why are you crying? She said, it is a policy that whoever goes to Kashi, they have to give up something that is very dear to them. So I have given up this fried adu sabji, which I love the most. So I went there and all my friends told me that I have to give up what I like the most. So I have given it up. So she was crying for many days. So in the same way, when we give up something which we like the most, then always we cry because our heart is torn apart. But in the case of Bharat Maharaj, how did he give up? He gave it up just like one gives up a latrine. Do you cry when you give up latrine? Actually, you cry before you go to the latrine because somebody is already inside. Howling, isn't it? But once the job is over, nobody bothers about the latrine. You give it up very easily to other person. Please go inside. So, Bharat Maharaj was able to give up like that so easily. How was the detachment possible? That is explained in the second line. Jahav yuvaiva malavat uttama shloka lalasaha. Uttama shloka is Krishna, who is glorified in Chash poetry. Uttama shloka lalasaha. He had a great eagerness to glorify Krishna. And in the complete absorption of Krishna consciousness, he could very easily give up these things. This is detachment. So this detachment is a fruit of the knowledge which you gained in the previous class. And the other aspect is the surrender. Surrender is that one understands that one is not autonomous in one's activities. When one understands about the super soul, one begins to repent. Just see how many lifetimes the super soul has been guiding me. When I was in a worm's body, when I was in a dog's body, in a cat's body, in so many animal bodies. In every body, the super soul was such an intimate friend that he has been accompanying me. And even now he is accompanying me. And even in this very life, when I wanted to do so many abominable activities, he was always warning me, don't do it. And he always wanted to give me an opportunity to become a devotee. But I always rejected him. It is true actually. When the Lord wants to give us guidance, we tell him, mind your own business. Don't disturb me. I have too many busy things to do. Prabhupada gives an example. Sometimes you see a rich man carrying a dog, isn't it, in the street. So the dog just wanders here and there. He wants to see some bones, or he wants to eat some abominable substances in the road. He goes here and there. And the man is just holding the dog with the rope. Similarly, Paramatma is there, he's like that rich man. And the living entity is compared to the dog. Similarly, the living entity wants to go here, he wants to go there, he wants to do this nonsense and that nonsense. He is going here and there, like that. And Lord is so patient that he is accompanying him life after life after life. So now, after so many lifetimes, when the living entity is enlightened with this knowledge that I am the initiator of all my actions and the super soul is the sanctioner and the material nature is performing all actions, he really repents a lot. Repentance is certainly not bad, because repentance is a good springboard from where one can dive into the pond of surrender. So if one wants to surrender, the first step is to repent for all one's nonsensical activities in the past. So this is how a devotee begins to surrender, and he begins to understand that Paramatma is in total control, and then he achieves perfect knowledge, as it is explained here. When one's intelligence, mind, faith and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. Such a person can proceed straight, Krishna says, on the path of liberation, because he is cleansed of all the misgivings through complete knowledge. And what is that knowledge? That was the knowledge of super soul and soul and Prakriti, which were explaining before. So such a person who has come to knowledge and who is cleansed of all misgivings, what is his consciousness? So shlokas from 18 to 22 understand the vision of a self-realized soul. They explain, how does such a soul see the things of this world?
Vidya vinaya sampanne,
vidya vinaya sampanne,
brahmanega vihastini,
brahmanega vihastini,
shuni chaiva shapake cha,
shuni chaiva shapake cha,
pandita samadarshinah,
pandita samadarshinah.
Translation. This is the vision of a devotee. Actually, from this verse onwards, 18 to 26, I think, in all this verse, Krishna is explaining the second aspect, namely the surrender. That means after the devotee achieves detachment and surrender, in surrender, how does he achieve perfect knowledge of Krishna? Perfect knowledge of Krishna means to not only know Krishna, but to know Krishna as well as the things that are related to Krishna. That means to see everything in relation to Krishna. So that is called as perfect knowledge. So that's what is being explained in all the subsequent verses. So in 18 to 22 he explains about the 18 to 26 he explains about the characteristics of such a person, enlightened soul. And in this up to 22 he explains the vision of a self-realized soul. Here he says, the humble sages by virtue of true knowledge see with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog and a dog eater. How can one see all these different varieties of people with the same outlook? How is it possible? How is this equal vision possible? So even in the modern civilization, they are trying to bring about equality. They are trying to establish unisex. They want to make male and female equal. Actually, all the females are wearing male dress, pant and shirt. Very common, it's becoming common everywhere nowadays, if you see. Simply by changing the external dress, you don't become equal. You cannot make man is doing woman's job and woman is doing man's job. Nowadays, man is very proud that, you know, now in my house I am also working, my wife is also working. You know, I bring 10,000, wife brings 10,000, so we are very happy. But then the wife says, oh, I have to go for a job, please wash my sarees and cook the food in the morning. So husband is doing wife's job, if you see. So the nature of work is, they are trying to change it artificially, but ultimately this will lead to only frustration. Can we bring about equality on a material platform? Impossible. How can the owner of a company or a managing director and the worker who is working on a lathe can be made equal. Prabhupada gives example, if you go to a court, there is a peon sitting there and putting rubber stamps. He is working very, very hard, right from morning to evening putting rubber stamps, and he may be given some 1,000 rupees salary. And there is high court magistrate who is coming to the court for a few minutes or maybe for a few hours, 1 or 2 hours, and he has to sign some vouchers or he has to give some judgment. Some days he comes and some days he doesn't come. One day he may come and give judgment and go. He may get 10,000 rupees salary. Why? Why should we have such discrimination? Can we make everyone equal? Make everyone flat and make everyone equal? Is it possible? Is it possible? Certainly on the material platform we cannot bring about equality. Because everyone has been created in a unique way. Like an idiot and Einstein are in two different poles. Einstein has his own brilliance and talents. An idiot is an idiot. So you cannot make these two people equal. So equality can be brought about only in the platform of soul, spirit soul. Here, as we heard till now, the humble sage, he can clearly see that in every body there is a living entity. And along with that living entity, there is a Paramatma also. And the living entity is covered by the subtle body with varieties of desires and varieties of plans. And the living entities are suffering. And in every body there is a soul, but then it is covered by different levels of consciousness. When we talk of equality, although we see the soul in every body, it doesn't mean that you have to embrace a tiger. Can you embrace a tiger? You know, even in a tiger's body there is a soul. You know very well. There is no doubt about it. But then the soul in that tiger's body is covered by different levels of ignorance. As we read earlier, Dhumena Vrede Vanhir Atolbena Malenacha Adadasha. So in the shloka we heard how there are different levels of coverings. Prabhupada gives three examples there. Just like the embryo is covered by the womb. The womb is covered by the embryo. Or the dust is covering the mirror. Or the fire is covered by the smoke. Three examples are given there. So one who is in the mode of ignorance is compared to the womb that is covered by the embryo. Because when the child is in the womb, nobody can see it. It is practically impossible. It is like a dark region. That is compared to the mode of ignorance. In mode of passion, the example of dust on the mirror is given. When you wipe out the dust, then you can see. But goodness is compared to the fire that is covered by smoke. So whenever there is smoke, there is fire inside. If the fire can be rekindled, then immediately the fire can grow very much larger. So in this way, every living entity is covered by modes due to which they are all behaving in a different way. So a humble sage can clearly see in all these different bodies which are belonging to different modes. Here, he explained a gentle brahmana, he is a mode of goodness. Cow is also a mode of goodness. A dog eater is a chandala. He is a mode of ignorance. So in this way, varieties of people are there, but a humble sage is able to clearly see, one who has got this vision. Now one may ask, what is the advantage of having this vision, if you can see the soul in every body? When one can see the soul in every body, then one cannot cause harm to anybody. One will completely become harmless. When you see a cat, you see that this is a living entity who is now residing in the body of a cat. When you see a dog, whenever I see a dog, I always remember this shloka. Tanaham dushita kruran samsaresh naradhama chipami adhasrama shibhan asri shiyava yonishu. Asurim yoni vapana muda janmani janmani maam apapyaiva kauntaya tato yanti adamam katim, Krishna says. These two verses in 16th chapter are very frightening verses if you hear. He says, Krishna says that tanaham dushita kruran, those are very demoniac people, like the one I was telling you some times ago. Such people, I cast them down into lower and lower species, he says. Like the life of a dog or a cat. And they suffer a lot in those bodies. And then they may even further and further go, sink down to lower and lower species like a worm or even a plant. Like that they go to lower and lower bodies and they suffer a lot. They are actually the envious souls. So, whenever we see such souls suffering in such bodies, we should have compassion for the bodies. And compassion for the souls suffering in those bodies. So we should know that this dog, he must have done some very sinful activity in the past. But now he is a street dog being beaten up by so many people. He is suffering like this. So one gets a spiritual vision. Similarly, when one sees a cow, he can see the living spirit in the cow's body. So he will not cut the throat of the cow. Now Americans, they are so educated, they are claiming to be having doctorates and big universities, like so many famous universities in America. But after all education, they are cutting the throat of a cow, poor cow, which has not caused harm to anybody. And they are having organized slaughterhouses where the cow, where they kill millions of cows. And the material nature is responding back to their heinous acts in the form of mad cow disease and so many other diseases. So in America, cow flesh is very common. How can we kill them? So when one achieves this knowledge of equality at the platform of soul, then one will not cause any harm to anybody. Besides that, there is also categorization by the Lord Himself. Chaturvarnya maya system guna karma vibhaga. Lord says, according to one's guna and karma, I have already categorized the society: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Somebody who is a Brahmana, he has a propensity to read the Shastras and speak Shastras and to perform Yajna and teach Yajna, Yajan, Yajan, Patan, Patan. So this is the duty of a Brahmana. And a Kshatriya has the nature to give protection to the people, especially to women, to children, to old men, to cows and Brahmanas, he gives protection. That is Kshatriya. Similarly, Vaishya has a natural propensity to work in the fields, trade and crop protection. These are very natural for a Vaishya. And a Shudra is labor class. But unfortunately, in modern society, all the industries are inviting the farmers. Come, come, in your village you have started a new industry. They are converting all the farmers who are supposed to be Vaishyas into Shudras. They can come and join our company and become laborers and work in the smithy shop, work in the lathe. So they are transforming them to laborers. So what happens? The cost of the grains is going up. Why? Because there is less production. So when Vaishyas become Shudras and Brahmanas become Shudras, the entire society becomes degraded. Like you can see, now all the intelligent students who have got very good brilliance, they are supposed to carry this knowledge of the scriptures. In the ancient times, there was a separate class of people, the intelligent class, the Brahminical class, who would thoroughly read the scriptures and practice it themselves and preach it to the masses. And the arrangement was made by the Kshatriya kings for the Brahmanas to preach this message. So that's how the society was flourishing so wonderfully. But today, all the students who are very brilliant, for them, the best thing that the country can offer is some education, some material education in leading institutions like IISc, IIT. They come there and they get to hear some material subject, fluid dynamics, mechanical, some theory of machines, or some computer engineering, electronics. They read all these subjects and they are just playing with material nature, simply speculating. You're simply playing with Bhumi, Rapu, Analo, Vayu, Kham. They don't know the Atma Tattva. They do not know anything about the Atma. So they read these things and they preach these things which has got nothing to do with Atma spirit at all. That is why Srila Prabhupada used to call this modern civilization as a culture which is decorating the dead bodies. Simply it is a decoration of the dead body. Like a man, when he is living, people will not even pay any heed to him. But when a man dies, they will put a velvet cloth on his body and they will garland him and put a nice crown for him and decorate him very attractively. And Mandaram Lokaranjanam, and people derive a great pleasure in doing so. This is foolishness. Similarly, in the modern times, simply it is a culture of decorating the dead bodies, simply studying matter and increasing the facilities and comforts only for the body, nothing for the soul. If only we were the bodies, there is a meaning to what we are doing. But we have nothing to give and take with the body. This body is actually simply a covering which is going to turn to ashes at the time of death. So the Brahminical class of people who are supposed to read the Shastras and preach, they all are doing the work of Shudras and Vaishyas. Actually they are becoming Vaishyas, capitalists. These boys, they go to colleges and they learn and they start their own business and they are they are counting the money, which they are not supposed to do actually. And they are becoming frustrated. So many of them are becoming frustrated and they are going and committing suicide. So this is the greatest misfortune. This categorization has been already done by the Lord. Chaturvarnya maya srishtam, Lord says. I already categorized. So Lord doesn't say every living entity is equal, so there is no need of any categorization. Everyone is same. Lord doesn't say that. Lord clearly says, although at the platform of soul, everyone is individual soul, which is having similar characteristics. Still, we all are covered by different modes. Avrita Chetana, Mukulita Chetana, Sankuchit Chetana, Vikasita, Purna Vikasita, different levels of Chetana coverings are there. And these are all based on the three modes. So according to the covering of the mode, one who is covered by mode of ignorance, who is he? Shudra. One who is covered by modes of ignorance and passion, Vaishya. One is covered by mode of passion, and one is covered by mode of goodness, Brahmana. So in this way, Lord says, everyone is covered by different degrees of modes, and they will all behave differently, speak differently, act differently, think differently. So I have given this categorization, so they let them fit in any one of these categories, and let them do their dharma. And they will do dharma for what purpose? Do you know? Dharmasya hi apavargasya. He never says, to do dharma for artha. He says, they should do dharma for apavarga. Apavarga means for liberation. So they will do dharma according to their own nature and work, and by so doing they will gradually achieve the platform of liberation. Because their tendency to do work, a particular type of work is there in every one of us. And if you do work according to that and you offer the fruits to Krishna, then you can become liberated and return back to Godhead in this very life. So that is the purpose of life. But unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, everything is in a mess. Everything is mixed up. Very unfortunate. Regarding the role of man and woman, we discussed elaborately in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita when we were discussing Kulakshaya Pranashyanti. So everyone is supposed to perform certain roles. So when we talk of equality, what do we mean? When we talk of equality, we mean equality at the level of soul. Humble said, is able to clearly see in everybody there is a soul. And he feels compassion for that soul and he wants to help them. So we will stop at this stage now for today. And from 19th onwards you can see further about the characteristics of enlightened soul. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Any questions? He is asking, in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada says that the Vedas should not be heard by Shudras. That's correct. Because according to the nature of Shudras, they are not sent to Gurukul at all. Shudras don't go to Gurukul. Only Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, in some cases the Vaishyas. Generally, only the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas go to the Gurukul. Why the Shudras are not sent? It is said that the Shudras spontaneously have a tendency for sinful activities. And they may not know what is sinful, what is not sinful. But even if they know, they may not want to give it up. Their particular nature. And what is best suited for them is only labor. Hard work. Only the hard work and by being faithful can they become free from these habits. And even giving knowledge to them really does not have any influence on them. They are so dull that any amount of preaching or speaking philosophy to them doesn't enter heads. You see, in Kali Yuga many people are like that. So you can understand the Kala Shudra Sambhava. And talk about spiritual, people are completely dull. I am not interested, they say. We know why you are not interested. Very easy to understand. So that is the nature of a Shudra. He simply cannot understand. So he has to understand these things through realization by hard labor. Under the he has to serve a Brahmana or a Kshatriya. When he serves like that, and gradually by that work and by learning from them what to do and what not to do, he can progress.
Most of us are behaving like Shudras, very few of us actually have the right to listen to the Vedas.
Actually, he is telling in Kali Yuga most of us behave like Shudras, so very few of us have the right to hear the Vedas, he says. That is why Prabhupada did not emphasize so much on the philosophy in the beginning. When somebody would come to the movement, first thing he will get in ISKCON is only service. First thing he'll be told to do some service, some kind of service. And generally it will be very hard service. Prabhupada would immediately send them for book distribution. Because generally we may have a Vaishya propensity or Shudra propensity in domination in us. So when you work very hard, you also feel very joyful, generally by hard work. So you engage in hard work and keep on doing activities, and then because these activities are not mundane, they are connected to Krishna, they are spiritual by nature, gradually these activities will bring you to the platform of goodness. And goodness is a proper platform at which one can understand the Shastras. That is, in the beginning one doesn't understand so much. People, when they come to our movement, they appreciate many other things other than philosophy. Many people don't appreciate the philosophy so much. People sometimes say, oh, Bhagavad Gita I like very much. They say, they just say, for lip service. But then if you ask them, what is that in Bhagavad Gita? Oh, Bhagavad Gita, my grandfather bought it and kept it at home. I never read it. He said, oh, people don't know anything. So we generally cannot understand much of the scriptures in the beginning. But we just hear from great devotees, hear their instruction and order, and just follow it. And then when we do a lot of hard work and service and we advance and progress more and more, we will come to goodness where we can understand these things more nicely, precisely.